Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The lights are out.
Curry gets it. The lights go out.
The game is over, and we're here to pick up the pieces. This is Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game.
On Conchar, passes to Mooney. 17-footer, it's no good. Shot clock turned off. And that's that. The Warriors walk off as the buzzer sounds. And this series is going back to the Bay. Game 6 will be Friday night. The Warriors get thumped here in Memphis. The final score, Grizzlies 134 and the Warriors 95.
All right, Tim Roy on the call there. John Dickinson inside FedEx Forum in Memphis. 888-957-9570. Let's react to this one. Yikes. Big yikes. Triple yikes. The Warriors find themselves now still leading the series 3-2, but 134-95 wasn't even the worst of it. Warriors trailed in this one by as many as 55. It was 119-64 Grizzlies late in the third quarter before Juan Toscano-Anderson hit a three at the close of the third quarter. Warriors, for what it's worth, won the mop-up portion, at least the fourth quarter mop-up portion, because the Warriors emptied the bench middle of the third quarter, just having to set their sights on Friday point blank because things were so out of hand, and the Warriors haven't exactly played well in these games where they've had one day of rest in between. So a lot to get into. Phone lines open, 888-957-9570. Turnovers continue to be a problem for the Warriors, and as this series has gone on, the Grizzlies starting to impose their will a little bit, their style of play. They hit the Warriors in points in the paint again, 50-36. That has started to flip as this series has moved on. A massive night from the Memphis bench as well, as they outscore the Warriors 52-35 in terms of bench points. But flat out, the talk coming into this one was about, you know, the Warriors trying to put the Grizzlies away, and would the Grizzlies just lay down and take it? And the reality is the Grizzlies were having none of it, and they were having none of it from the opening tip. And this is a second consecutive series where the Warriors have come out in a closeout game with a chance to end it and just played some of their worst basketball. It happened in the Denver series with the Warriors up 3-1 in three games to none with a shot to end that series on the Sunday afternoon in Denver. Couldn't get the job done there. Then struggled in game 5 that was pretty similar to the game that the Warriors were able to eke out on Monday against the Grizzlies and were able to close that series. But now you look at the all systems fail component of tonight, and this thing is, it's not a disaster yet, because as you look at the big picture of where this series sits, you split the first two on the road, you go home and hold serve, and the Grizzlies hold up their end to stay alive, and now this thing shifts back to San Francisco for game 6 on Friday. But that's the shot. That's the game where now for the first time in the playoffs the Warriors are going to face a little bit of pressure. Because the one thing I can tell you they don't want, and it's an obvious point, but they do not want to have to come back and play another game in this building this season. They do not want to come back and have to play in FedEx Forum on what would be Monday night, having at that point, if it gets to that point, lost a 3-1 series lead. And really, at that point, it would feel almost as if the series is completely turned, because now game four hits a little different. When you look at the way the Grizzlies played tonight, game four hits a little different. It's easy to kind of write off game four as, the Warriors didn't make shots, and it was an ugly game, and the Grizzlies are so much better defensively when they don't have Ja Morant. And, you know, those are shots that the Warriors will make as things move forward. They won't turn the basketball over as much. They'll get back to playing Warriors basketball. Well, if anything, tonight backs up the fact that Monday night was not an outlier. Now, the Warriors are fortunate to have won that game, and you could say either that game or game one, however you want to look at it, is the difference in the series, with both teams eking out some close victories in game four and in game two, or game one and game two. However you want to split the difference, the difference in this series is the game that the Warriors were able to grind out on Monday night. But at this point, you look at it and you move forward, and you have to think that tonight backed up some of the concerning aspects of Monday. Another part to keep an eye on here is Otto Porter Jr. Did not play in the second half. Mike Brown was asked about that after the game, and he didn't have any further update on Otto Porter Jr. and his status. The one thing that Mike Brown did say was that he was told at halftime by the training staff that Porter was out, that he couldn't go in the second half, so he went with Nemanja Bjelica to begin the third quarter, and the Grizzlies outscored the Warriors 42-17 in that third quarter. And as I mentioned, had led by 55 at one point late in the quarter before JTA hit a three right there before the buzzer to cut it to 52. So all eyes now on Otto Porter Jr. and his injury and what was right foot soreness. The Warriors ruling Otto Porter Jr. out with right foot soreness. And so... We'll see as far as game five. Now, these games come in rapid fire. Back to the Bay, the Warriors are going to fly back tomorrow, actually stay over the night, get a good night's sleep, head back in the morning tomorrow, get back mid-afternoon, and then try and regroup and put themselves in a position to close this series out on Friday night. Yeah, so 888-957-9570, that's the latest on Otto Porter Jr., right foot soreness, out for tonight, and then no further update. So stay tuned. And you know, Porter, I know, had been banged up a little bit as far as his hand, had a wrap on his hand going back in the last couple of games. But I know he met with the media at shoot-around today, and he deemed the hand issue a non-issue. But Porter has had foot issues in the past, and the Warriors have been very smart this year how they've handled Otto Porter Jr. and you know, giving him a night off here and there to make sure that he'd be good to go for the long haul. So we'll see in the coming days here leading up to Game 6 what Otto Porter Jr. can provide. Because, look, the Warriors are going to need him. The Warriors are going to need Otto Porter. They're already down two rotation players with Iguodala and without Gary Payton II injured in this series. Otto Porter Jr. has been an X factor. He's been somebody that has been a major net positive, not only in the first round, but especially in this series, with his willingness to get in and grind and get rebounds and hit the three ball and just be kind of an overall stabilizing force. So big news there with Otto Porter. You could make a case that's the biggest net negative of the whole night, is the fact that he's now injured, and we'll have to see what his status is as far as things go moving forward. So Warriors just flat out didn't have it tonight. The turnovers, the bad shots, the Grizzlies were able to get out in transition and get themselves into a rhythm. And, you know, at one point, second quarter, Warriors had cut it down, and then the Grizzlies wind up going on a big run to close the second quarter, and it wound up where the second quarter ended up being worse than the first quarter, 38-28 after one. You go back at the half, and it was ugly. It was absolutely ugly, 77-50 at the half. And by the end of the night, the Grizzlies were dancing. They were dancing on the court. They were dancing in the stands here at FedEx Forum. They even had the Warriors dancing to whoop that trick during a timeout with the Grizzlies up big. You had Steph Curry, who was asked by Kendra Andrews of ESPN earlier today what the game plan was as he was leaving shoot-around, and his quote was, "Whoop that trick." Poking fun at the battle cry and the song that's played here inside FedEx Forum. And so they were playing that, and you gotta respect the hell out of Draymond Green. He was waving his towel. He was dancing to it. Steph Curry was smiling almost as if to acknowledge, hey, maybe I caught up in the moment, having a little fun, bit off a little more than I could chew, and they're letting me have it, and that's all good and all in good fun. At one point, the hype man here in FedEx Forum it said, "In your face" to Curry with the Grizzlies up, and at this point, 40-plus points in the game, and the Warriors having to own that as well as they set their sights on the ball game on Friday night and trying to bounce back. So 888-957-9570, the Xfinity mobile text line is open as well, as the Warriors now find themselves in a position where they're still in control of the series. And what you want at the beginning of a series is to, if you're the team that doesn't have home court advantage, to be able to be in the exact spot that the Warriors are in. But this whole thing hits and feels a hell of a lot different now with the Warriors seemingly for a second consecutive series getting worse as the series goes on. That's, I think, a little bit of a reason for alarm in addition to the Otto Porter injury. And the Warriors came out flying against Denver, played a really good game three, eked out a win inside Ball Arena there, and then progressively, game four didn't play that well. Game five didn't play well, but ground out a win. This series, game one, they come out, play a solid game in game one. They win on the Klay Thompson three late, and then ugly in game two. They do bounce back in game three, but game four, the Grizzlies in that inspired defensive effort without Ja Morant, you wonder at the end of that one, did the Warriors – the Grizzlies figure something out a little bit? No, one game, Warriors didn't make shots. Well, now makes you wonder, in a do-or-die situation for the Grizz, did maybe Memphis figure some things out, and do the Warriors have to get back to the drawing board, and how do they do it as they shift this thing to Friday night? So 888-957-9570, let's get to the phones. We'll start with Dave and Alameda on 95.7 The Game. What's going on, Dave?
Hey, great show, JD. You know, I guess today that'd be a 39 burger. As Clay would say, it's not a pool party. Kind of like the pee pool, unfortunately. Curry, you know, I mean, it's never good when Clay is leading us in scoring after the first quarter. He had 12 turnovers after the first quarter. That was brutal. I think we're lacking our depth when Curry goes on the bench. There's a certain guard that got away from us. I won't bring his name up, but we don't have him. But what are we going to do? I mean, we got to hit our free throws. Turnovers were too high. Go Warriors. And it seems like we're going to probably face the Mavericks.
Yeah, I don't know about that. They're down 3-2, Dave, but I appreciate the call. Appreciate the call there. Look, Jordan Poole was terrible tonight. I mean, you talk about who's going to step up when Steph Curry's on the floor. Thought it was odd that Steph Curry didn't take a shot for the first, 5 minutes and 14 shots. Jotted that down. Just kind of letting everybody else get into the flow. And then Steph got rolling a little bit once he did finally take a three, knocked down a couple of threes, and you thought, okay, maybe this is going to be one of those nights where Steph is going to have to just keep a minute and have an opportunity to steal the game down the stretch. And I think, you know, this is the first time in this series where the Warriors found themselves not playing well and the Grizzlies punishing them for it. I think one consistent theme, and I mentioned this when I was on with Damon and Ratto before the game on Warriors Live, if there has been a theme to this series, it's been when the Warriors haven't played well that the Grizzlies have not, you know, yeah, they'll get up 8, they'll get up 12, they'll get it, but the Warriors are always hanging around, and it feels like the Warriors are in better position than maybe they should be for how they're playing. And in part, that's, you know, the Grizzlies haven't exactly played great in a lot of these games, in particular offensively themselves, and have had some careless errors and some momentum-changing plays and the like. But tonight was the first time where the Warriors' poor play turned into a massive deficit. You know, it actually got to 17-18 there in the middle of the second quarter. How would the Warriors respond to that? Well, they responded by being down 27 at the half. So bad look there, and really the first time that the Warriors weren't almost in a better position than they should be for the turnovers, for getting hit on the boards, which hadn't been as much of a problem in this series, for some of the bad shots and poor defense. But, yeah, Jordan Poole, not good. Not good at all in this one tonight. All right, let's keep it moving with Charlie up next here on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Charlie.
Hey, JD, what's going on, man? I'm not going to reiterate everything everyone's been saying, but third game in a row, Kuminga starts. He hasn't added anything in the starting lineup. I don't know why they keep putting him out there unless it's for his athletic ability. I would have liked to have seen Otto Porter. I called you the last time. I would like to maybe see Porter or a veteran in there. I agree. Poole looks complete. I mean, dribbling into traffic and just not knowing, just fumbling and bumbling the ball. I don't understand that. You were right on about from last game and tonight's game. There's a pattern that have Memphis figured something out. I thought they would lose tonight, the Warriors. I thought it would be going back to game 6, but the way they lost tonight, Curry needs to be more assertive early in the game. Not taking a shot in the first 5 to 7 minutes is just ridiculous. He needs to assert himself. I'm a half glass, half empty type of guy. So I am worried about Friday night because, you know, Memphis might have figured something out with this team. A question, and I'll listen off the phone. Do you think the lack of Kerr being on the sideline has affected them? I know they're a veteran team, but you think Kerr not coaching the last couple of games has affected the way they played? And I'll keep listening, and I'll have a good night.
Yeah, no, appreciate the call. 888-957-9570. Charlie, thanks for calling. I think it's absolutely been a factor. And look, I mean, you know, Mike Brown admitted today that he hadn't been as much involved in the Warriors' offense as he had been in past years because Steve Kerr before this year had essentially made him the defensive coordinator. And so he would spend a lot of his time breaking down film as it pertained to the defensive side of the ball and been less involved in the offense and less involved in the overall back and forth. I'm with you on Kuminga. I would not have started Jonathan Kuminga tonight. That was a surprise to me, but the Warriors have tended to, if they win the game a certain way, even if it's not pretty, they roll that next lineup out there until they lose a game. That's just historically how they've done it. I thought even Kevon Looney could have started the game to bang around a little bit with Steven Adams at the start. But that was a stunner for me, and I don't think we're going to see Jonathan Kuminga, who was on pace to probably not play at all had this thing not turned into a blowout. I don't think we're going to see him in the starting lineup on Friday night in San Francisco. The question, though, becomes where do the Warriors go if Otto Porter Jr. can't go? And again, we're probably a little premature on that, but Porter leaving the game with the right foot soreness, he would be the logical, natural fit to insert into the starting lineup, and you play him and Draymond at the forwards with Wiggins and Clay and Steph, and then you have Poole coming off the bench, and you figure out how you're going to piece it together as far as the bench goes. But the Warriors are already down two rotation players. I mean, that's just flat out down Iguodala, and we'll see what happens with Iguodala. His reevaluation date is tomorrow. I saw him downstairs here at FedEx Forum riding the bike earlier before the game. you know, who knows, getting the cardio in, who knows how much that impacts the neck, although I do think the neck is one of those things, if you're doing any kind of physical exertion and your neck's in pain, your neck is probably going to be in pain. So it didn't look like he was in any pain when he was riding the exercise bike downstairs before the game, again, trying to get a cardio in. So we'll see. I know Steve Kerr had hinted maybe he could be back for game three, and then that was quickly put to bed, and it was, you know, he was ruled out for 3-4 and tonight's game five. So we'll see what happens as far as that goes. But the Warriors are in bigger trouble if they don't have Otto Porter Jr., because that's another playable player that's taken away in what now becomes the biggest game of the Warriors season, and a game that really, you know, it's not a must win, but I'm just going to put it out. Game six, a must win. I mean, the atmosphere in this building was off the charts, and it was a hungry fan base, and it was a hungry Grizzlies team that did not want to go home. And I know, you know, Warrior fans spent a good chunk of the day kind of mocking the rally towel and mocking the fact that the Grizzlies, you know, weren't going to run from the smoke, you know, weren't going to duck the smoke, and they didn't. They backed it up flat out. And so, you know, with the way – and look, the Warriors love playing in buildings like this in the atmosphere, but I'm telling you, they're headed for a cauldron if they have to come back and play in this building on Monday night, already having at that point lost a 3-1 lead in the series, with things seemingly progressively getting worse for them. So deep breath, all in on Friday night, but that is a massive, massive game. And the first real, I think, pressure-packed game of the postseason for the Warriors, and what would that be, the 11th game. Something to lose, something on the line, some stakes there on the line. 888-957-9570. Let's keep it moving with Bob in the city on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Bob.
Owen. Hi.
What's going on, Bob?
You hear me?
Loud and clear, Bob. What's on your mind?
First, I want to say I'm not a Memphis fan, so I don't want people to think I'm saying this is a Memphis fan, because I'm not. But I'm not surprised at all by tonight. I think Monday, the Warriors were lucky to win. I think the Warriors were outplayed 80% of that game on Monday, except for this fact. Memphis did everything they could to give away any potential big lead. Memphis should have had a lead of 10 to 15 points at some point.
I agree with you.
But they've made too many mistakes to get that kind of lead. What Memphis did wrong was allow the Warriors to hang around until the last of the fourth quarter. The Warriors could get a win, and the Warriors were just flat out lucky Monday night. And I think I wouldn't be surprised if Memphis wins this series. I think Memphis is more athletic. I think they're a little faster. I think Klay Thompson's not the player he was 2 years ago. And I personally think that Memphis, I think Memphis has a very good chance. I'm not saying they're going to win it like a guarantee lock, but I think they have a very good chance. And I think a fan gets delusional. They think their team is going to win unconditional love regardless of what. Well, I'm not a fan. But what I do see is reality. And the reality is Memphis should have won Monday night. They would have if they had extended to lean not throw the ball away like they did and allowed the Warriors to hang in until the end. But it doesn't surprise me at all.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 888-957-9570 from Bob. We go to Robin on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Robin.
Hey, JD. So to the last caller, they should have won, but they didn't. So that's the end result.
But, correct.
Okay, so based off results, yes, they didn't. So moving forward, what bothers me about the Warriors, and I have said this over and over, is the one thing about the Warriors is their consistency to be inconsistent. That has always bothered me, among other things. And sometimes, JD, another team just comes right out and punts you in the damn mouth. The Warriors did it those last 5 years. It happened to them tonight. And remember I said to you the other time I talked to you, it bothers me that the Warriors their inability to come out and punch teams in the mouth. They just don't have it. I think that the length is bothering them, and everybody gives Steph Curry a pass. Well, he took lousy shots tonight, too, and he wasn't good either. And sometimes you just get punched in the damn mouth, J.D. Talk to you later, sweetheart.
No question, Robin. That great phone call. I mean, you're spot on. So, I mean, it was embarrassing, but the Grizzlies came out like a desperate team with their season on the line at home in a series where they probably believe it should have, at a minimum, been tied. And hell, they probably think on their side they should be up 3-1 going into tonight. All right, let's not get carried away. But, yeah, the desperate team quite often has the advantage game to game in a playoff series. And the Grizzlies were by far the more desperate team. And Curry was letting the game come to him and you know, not really looking for a shot. 14 other shots before he took number one on the night. And things got awry in terms of the turnovers. And it snowballed on him. And often we've seen the Warriors not let games like that completely snowball on him. But tonight, it snowballed on him. And so you have to accept it. You have to own it. You have to be humbled by it, I think, a little bit. And then you focus your energies toward the next game and try and bounce back. I mean, look, the series wasn't over when the Grizzlies got beat by 30 at Chase Center and the Warriors thumped them and scored 142 points. And you know, the series wasn't over then, and the series isn't over now the other way. You know, works both ways here. 888-957-9570. Ricky is next here on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Ricky.
Man, glad talking to you again. Called a couple of nights ago when they won. Now I'm going to call you again when they lose, man. I'm a Warriors fan. I'm a Klay Thompson fan. You know, I told you two nights ago, big Klay Thompson fan. I'm just actually very disappointed on the Warriors. I mean, this is what I've been seeing, to be quite honest with you, since, you know, I don't know, 3-4 months since Klay Thompson's coming back. I mean, all the games I always see, the shooting guards, the guards in general of the Warriors don't like to box out. And they're a small team, so, you know, the opposite team always grabs that rebound and gets those, you know, second-chance putbacks. I'm also noticing that the Grizzlies are more physical than the Warriors. They're pushing around Jordan Poole. They're pushing Klay Thompson around, to be quite honest with you. And, yep. You know, they know that they're the more physical and grittier team. And they're, you're showing them. They're trying to break the will, you know what I mean, of the Warriors. I'm worried because of that because, you know, obviously we know the Warriors don't have size. They don't have, like, a dominant big man, you know, in the middle can just, you know, do the same thing. So if they do get past this round, and that's a big if, like I told you, you guys better pray for the Dallas Mavericks the next round because I don't see them beating the Suns, to be quite honest, man. And, you know, I'm praying and I'm hoping Klay comes back, but that's just a lot to ask from somebody, from a player like Klay Thompson, man. You know, you tear your Achilles, you tear your ACL, you know, back-to-back in big-time injuries. You know, I always thought from 2016 to 2019, Klay Thompson was your best player in the Warriors, right? I mean, what he was asked to do is limited shots, giving you 20 points, you know, playing both ways, guarding the best shooting guard in the opposite team. I thought he was your best player, but now he's a shell of himself. And that's just the reality. All right, guys. Good night. Thank you for your time, man.
Appreciate it, Ricky. 888-957-9570. Phone lines open. John Dickinson here inside FedEx Forum in Memphis where the Grizzlies thumped the Warriors tonight 134-95. And let's just be honest, it wasn't even that close. I mean, the 39-point margin of victory. Grizzlies led by as many as 55 late in the third quarter. You want to see some ugly numbers? Look at the plus-minus numbers in this game for the Warriors. Klay Thompson was a minus 45. Minus 4. When do you ever see Steph Curry minus 37? Draymond Green minus 32. Jordan Poole minus 34. I mean, just unbelievable numbers, and you go up and down. I mean, it was basically the starters versus the starters in this one as far as the ugliness went for the Warriors and the greatness for the Grizzlies. Desmond Bane plus 46. I mean, just Jaren Jackson Jr. plus 42 in this one. Tyus Jones plus 39. Dylan Brooks plus 38. Brandon Clark off the bench plus 20. Just some gaudy numbers both ways in a game like this. Let's get Manuel in Dublin in here before we pause at the top of the hour. Manuel, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, John, I hope this doesn't affect the long term of this other run for a championship, because I think this can be down by 52 at one point. I'm so disappointed. I mean, it's easy to build our guys up and tear them down. I'm not going to tear them down too much. I mean, I'm just disappointed on not being ready, not giving effort. You can even see when they were down, they weren't really playing. I don't know. I'm shocked to be down by this. A championship pedigree team like this to be down by 52 at one point. I just can't believe it. I hope this doesn't linger on. We don't want to go. I don't care what anybody says. They play that song in the background, Whoop That Trick. And they was whooping us last night, man. I hope we don't go back to Game 7. But, John, I always enjoy your shows. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it, Manuel. Look, I'm not shocked that the Warriors lost tonight. I'm really not. I think I gave the Grizzlies more of a shot to win the game tonight outright than a lot of people did. I thought it was a little curious, a lot of the chatter. Granted, I think a lot of people in the Bay Area haven't really watched the Grizzlies all that closely and the season that they've had. And the fight that they play with even without Ja Morant, and so it doesn't surprise me that the Grizzlies put a good ball game together. Yeah, I'm surprised the Warriors are down 55 in the third quarter, and look like they've just got no answer for the onslaught of what was going on here in this game tonight. Just no answer. They couldn't hold their mud. They couldn't hang in there. So, as far as the long-term impact, I'm not sure. I mean, the fact that they've got to play another game on Friday with one day in between and traveling two-thirds of the way, across the country, that can have an impact not only on Game 6, but let's say you win that and Phoenix wins tomorrow night, and then you get a couple of days, and then you're off and running in the grinder again, playing in Phoenix on Monday night in the conference finals. Like, I'm a little reluctant to start talking about the conference finals and the finals tonight when this series is not yet done. But should the Warriors get through this series Friday? Yes, playing an extra game and it all has ramifications. And look, that was the biggest question, at least for me, coming into the postseason. It wasn't could the Warriors win a series or win two series or beat Phoenix or beat the Grizzlies or any of that. All of that's on the table. Of course the Warriors can beat all those teams. It's can they win four series? Can you beat Denver and the Grizzlies? Grizzlies going to take a little piece of you if you do beat them, right? Pound of flesh. Then you go to and you play Phoenix, what's left not good enough to beat Phoenix? If Phoenix takes a pound of flesh and you win that series, what do you got left for Milwaukee or Boston in a potential final? Like, that's the question, as far as the big picture of it. So, yeah, every game you have to play is another high-stakes 30, 35 minutes for an aging core. We talk about the young players a lot. The Warriors' core is getting up there, flat out. And the most important players on the Warriors are Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green. By the way, before we pause here, Jared Greenberg of Turner, of TNT, we were talking about Andre Iguodala. He was reporting that Iguodala's out no matter what for the game on Friday, Game 6. And Greenberg, I guess this was on the broadcast, he also tweeted, regardless of how Andre Iguodala's evaluation goes, he will not be available Friday. And obviously that injury now more concerning with Porter already out and Gary Payton II out as well. So we'll pause here. We'll come back. We'll hear from Mike Brown. We'll hear from Draymond Green. We'll hear from Steph Curry. 888-957-9570. Phone lines open. Grizzlies beat the Warriors 134-95. And you heard it right here at 95.7 The Game.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Curry bounce pass, Draymond, who dropped it and gave it right to Melton. Melton ahead to Tyus Jones. Takes a three in transition. Swish.
That is a backbreaker there.
Now back to Warriors Wrap Up on 95.7 The Game.
John Dickinson back inside FedEx Forum in Memphis. All Grizzlies tonight, 134-95 is the final, as the Grizz led by as many as 55. They get a little bit closer in this series, now 3-2 Warriors as we head back to San Francisco and the Bay Area for Game 6 on Friday night. By the way, Game 6 is going to be a 7 o'clock tip-off. I know that had been to be determined. The league actually came out and announced it once there was for sure going to be a Game 6 in the Milwaukee-Boston series, that if there were two games that night, which there are two games that night, then the Warriors and the Grizzlies would be at 7 o'clock. So 7 o'clock for Game 6 in San Francisco on Friday night, Friday night, two nights from tonight, and then Game 7, if necessary, on Monday would be back in this building, and that's an earlier start. But look, Warriors are hoping that doesn't come to fruition at this point. But 7 o'clock, if you're holding a ticket for that one, that may say time to be determined for the Warriors and the Grizzlies. 888-957-9570, just kind of getting into what, you know, what matters and what doesn't off of the blowout loss. Warriors essentially terrible from the start. The turnover's a problem. You look at points in the paint. The Grizzlies 50-36 rebounding advantage, 55-37. The Warriors did not hit the Grizzlies on the offensive glass the way that the Warriors have at different points in this series. Warriors with four offensive rebounds for the game. Four offensive rebounds for the game. You go back through some of the other games in this series. You know, 10 in game four, which was 10 in game four. They blew them out in game three, so that's irrelevant. But the Warriors with 14 in game two and 16 in game one. So as much as the Grizzlies will hit you on the offensive glass themselves, really an area where the Warriors had made a lot of hay and made up for other deficiencies in this series were the ability to get their own offensive rebounds and make the Grizzlies pay in terms of second-chance points. The Warriors had 5 second-chance points for the game tonight. It was 24-5 in terms of second-chance points. And I think Steven Adams flat out has made an impact in these last couple of games, clogging the paint, getting on the boards, and I think making it more difficult for the Warriors to beat the Grizzlies to the spot and get some second chance opportunities. So I know there was a big debate when he was on the health and safety protocols and wasn't going to play. How long would he play? At what point would he play? Would Taylor Jenkins even play him? And I think, you know, he played well in the blowout and, you know, limited minutes, mop up duty there. And so they decided with John Morant out for game four to give him the start, and he's been a factor. And we've seen the Warriors kind of run him off the floor by making him defend a little bit on the perimeter, but that hasn't been the case to this point. You look at the Warriors, kind of a whirlwind couple of days with Mike Brown having to take over and Steve Kerr obviously not even in the building here tonight. The Warriors wanting all the smoke, the Grizzlies refusing to go down, and now it all adds up to a pretty pressure-packed Friday night inside Chase Center for the Warriors and the Grizzlies. Let's get Jose in Oakland on the phone lines before we hear from Mike Brown. And then I got another number that might be a little bit more alarming as far as what really matters and the trends of this series through five games. Jose, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, fellas, how you guys doing?
Doing well, man, doing well.
All right, man, I'm bummed up about the game tonight. But, you know, the only thing I'm looking for is Game 6 Clay, man. Hopefully we get to see Game 6 Clay. Good old faithful Game 6 Clay, man.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Yeah, it's got to be better than a minus 45. I'll tell you that. So I saw this note, and I appreciate there was a texter that pointed this out on the Xfinity Mobile text line, and so hat tip there. And then I did some digging on it, and so this was a tweet from @GrizzAnalytics. Through five games of the series, so 240 minutes, five games of the series, the Grizzlies have led 182 minutes, while the Warriors have led for 58 minutes. Now, look, you got to win the big moments down the stretch, and the Warriors have done that in two of their three victories in this series. But I do think an alarming potential trend as this thing goes on is the fact that the Grizzlies, seemingly even without Ja Morant, are playing better these last couple of games and trending upward, and the Warriors are trending downward, almost as if Memphis has maybe found something defensively to where they feel like they can wreak some havoc. They've cleaned up progressively the issues that we were just talking about as far as the Warriors hitting them on the offensive glass and getting some really, I think, demoralizing, deflating extra possessions and extra buckets. I think the Grizzlies in the first couple of games of this series would get a stop, and then the Warriors would get the rebound, and then they'd have to get another stop. They've cleaned that up in these last couple of games, and really, you know, I'm not a believer that things necessarily, you know, if the Warriors had lost on Monday night, I think tonight would have been a completely different ball game. But the Warriors are in, they're pretty fortunate that they found a way to grind out that game on Monday night, because could you imagine the position that the Warriors would be in if they had not won that game? But tonight's performance illustrates the fact that now we can't go back and look at Monday and just write it off as, oh, the Warriors didn't play well, Grizzlies, you know, kind of ground the game down, and they didn't make shots. They're just going to make shots. They're just going to play better. They're the Warriors, so they'll figure it out. The Grizzlies have some say in this, and I think they really, for the first time in the series, shouted it loudly that they have some say in how this thing is going to play out if they play an A kind of a game. Let's go ahead and hear from the head coach of the Warriors, Mike Brown, here, as Mike Brown filling in for Steve Kerr, the associate head coach, and going to be soon Sacramento Kings head coach. Mike Brown addressed the media following this one. What went right? What went wrong? He was also asked about Otto Porter's injury. Here's Mike Brown.
How do you guys better limit the turnovers? Seemed like especially the live ball one, seemed like a major problem.
That's something that we've been talking about our whole playoffs. So not just tonight, and even not just this series. We just have to be more conscious of taking care of the ball. We have to understand that their length and their athleticism is an advantage that they have, their quickness. And we have to settle down on the offensive end of the floor to try to limit them, because, you know, when you have turnovers like we did tonight, especially early on, it kind of snowballs. And it gets them out in transition, gives them confidence, and it kind of deflates us a little bit as the game goes along.
What just kind of was your message for the team after that game?
It's one game. I can't remember what game three. We won 140-something to whatever. And we know they're a good team. They got their backs against the wall. They're going to come out and fight and scrap. And we know we can play better. Our guys know exactly what they did out there. And they know what they can do to be better the next time we step out on the floor. But it's one game. Don't get discouraged. Don't get down. We're going to go back in front of our home fans and see if we can get this done.
What is that? I mean, it was a 55-point deficit. What is the – are there any possible ramifications from losing like that, even though it is one game? You know, maybe the hope the other team gets, or is it worse because of it was in that fashion, I guess?
In my opinion, not at this point in the year. I think everybody understands what's at stake. And so whether you lose by, you know, 25 or you lose by 50, it's at the end of the day, it's one game. And we all have to feel that and understand it. And hopefully we can channel some of that energy into this next game.
Otto Porter missed the second half with right foot soreness, I believe it was. Was that precautionary because of the score, or is there concern he might, you know, miss game six?
I'm not sure. I just know that I was told that he was out. I'd have to check double R on that.
You did go with Bielitsa, I guess, just what went into that decision.
They hammered us on the boards, and that was one of the things that we felt we've done a pretty good job of during this series so far. We knew they're bigger than us. We knew they were they have a lot of long athletes, and we knew that they attacked the glass at a high rate. And so I just wanted to throw Belly out there to see if his size can limit some of their offensive rebounding while still spacing the floor a little bit.
You alluded to what I was just going to ask, which is the rebounding. You, as you said, have been really holding your own in that area so far. So what changed? And it was just them being more physical, or was it something else, especially on the offensive boards?
Yeah, part of it was their physicality. I thought they were extremely physical tonight. And then part of it, too, I mean, we've had an alertness or an awareness when it came to hitting bodies and boxing people out early. And we didn't have that tonight. There were too many times throughout the course of the game that their bigs or even their wings just kind of ran by us, and we turned and look, and you know, they're jumping over us at the rim and coming up with the rebound. So we have to do a better job of going and seeking a body and boxing them out early, and hope that one of our teammates gets the rebound.
You talked about, you know, your message to the team was that this is just one game.
Right.
But at some point, you know, being down 55 and the way that the game was going, it had to have been demoralizing in this kind of atmosphere with the fans cheering for Memphis and everything. How do you guys flush this win down and bounce back from it?
Yeah, it's how it is. You just kind of like when you're in the bathroom, you just kind of grab the switch and push it down, and it just goes right down the toilet. And it's kind of how we're going to do this one. You know, obviously we're going to watch the film and try to learn and grow from it. But at the end of the day, like I said, our guys, they understood what happened out there. So there's no need to overreact. You know, we'll come out, we'll play better Friday in front of our home crowd and see if we can get this win to close out. We know that they're a desperate team. Their back's against the wall. And we have to meet their energy in that regard.
Offensively, for your offense, what is their two bigs in the paint lineup, like what kind of problems do they present for you on offense?
A lot of problems. You know, we're not getting to the rim as cleanly as we have in the past, you know, with Steven Adams down there. And then, you know, they're long too. So not only are we having, you know, problems at times finishing, but if we go too deep with our penetration, their length and their activity, they're getting a lot of deflections. And so, you know, we have to get off the ball sooner. On our penetration, we have to cut sometimes and we have to relocate. You know, we can't just stand and wait for the ball because they're very good at helping and then getting back out in the passing lane. So if we relocate, we'll get some good looks once we do that.
All right, so Mike Brown there taking an L for the first time in his Warriors tenure when he's subbed for Steve Kerr. Kerr, of course, out due to the health and safety protocols. So the Warriors now 12-1 all-time in games coached by Brown in Steve Kerr's absence. The first loss, obviously he had the run back in 2017 when the Warriors went all the way to the NBA Finals, and Coach Kerr was able to come back in Game 2 of that series after missing time. Really, it dated all the way back to the first round against Portland there. So the first time with Mike Brown subbing in for Steve Kerr that the Warriors take a loss in the time that Brown has been with the Warriors. Let's a couple of things from what Mike Brown had to say, and I think the most pertinent point is just the fact that the Warriors do have to try to settle down and just play a little bit calmer offensively. I know, you know, the turnovers, I think, have just been a major issue throughout the entirety of the series. But some of the bad shots, and there have just been moments where just run the offense. I think the Grizzlies have tried to get the Warriors into the paint a lot, and they've almost overdriven at times to where they're trying to make the perfect play. The simple play, I think, and just playing calmer and making a more concerted effort to not turn it over, I think would impact things in a just a multifaceted way. As far as, you know, only being one game, I mean, is there some kind of psychological deal with the, being down by 55. I'm not sure. I mean, I'm not sure. If anything, though, it tells the Grizzlies that they're capable of really putting it on you in a way that they hadn't shown that they were capable of doing to any point in this series. It kind of goes back to the point that I was making a little bit earlier, where there have been times where the Grizzlies have played well in this series, and there have been times when the Warriors haven't, but the Grizzlies had never really made them pay to a point where it turned a game ugly on the Warriors in terms of the margin. Well, tonight was the first time where the Grizzlies found a template for things they wanted to do, and it impacted the margin to a great degree. And then, you know, the last point is Adams and Jackson playing together, and I think that's definitely impacted the Warriors' ability to score in the paint and to just be comfortable once the guards or even the wings are driving in there and trying to attack, which had been an area in the first three games of the series where the Warriors were outstanding, and it just hasn't been the case. So how do you adjust to that? I think the patience and the ball movement and getting back to playing higher IQ basketball are probably the most key component in all of that. Jimmy in Walnut Creek is next here at 888-957-9570. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, yeah, three things real quick, and then I'll take the answers off the phone. One is the boxing out, like he addressed, but that's basketball 101. And the other one is not only boxing out, let them go over your back and get fouls. The other one is on the free throws, we end up getting pushed underneath the basket. So if they do miss it, they're right there. It happened the whole game, like they got one. The other one is the last point. Every other day playing, you think that's wearing on us? Because the first series, we got a few extra days during games, and every other day, I think, you know, they're young kids and we're older. What do you think?
100%. I 100% I think that's playing a factor in this series as it's gone on. And it was something that I pointed out before the series even started with the layout of the schedule and the Warriors having the rest going. I mean, you just run through it. The Warriors had, 3 days of rest before game one of this series, and they score 117 points. They shoot 48%. They knock down 14 threes, and they wind up eking out a win in game one on that Sunday afternoon in this building. You forward to game two, one day off, and then you play, and the Warriors shoot 42%. They make 7 threes. Then you get 3 days off. You bounce back. You hit 17 threes. You score 142 points, which is the second most you've ever scored in franchise history in a playoff game. So at that point, I mean, you look at it, and that's with the 3 days off again. Then you got to play every other, and it gets ugly again on Monday night with the 9 3-pointers. Now you go every other with travel to play the game tonight, and it's 134-95, and you find yourself down by as many as 55 points in this game. So, and now you got every other again with travel as you head back home. So you get the benefit of being back home. But, yes, I think it absolutely is playing a role in this. The Grizzlies are younger and fresher and more energetic, and the Warriors have to use the championship DNA that they have and the high basketball IQ that is spoken of so frequently to their advantage and play a little calmer. I think no question in my mind, though, and it was something I talked about a couple of times earlier today on 95.7 The Game, when I was on with Steiny and Guru and when I was on with Damon and Ratto, and I made the point before the series, the every other thing doesn't work. And look, the next round, if the Warriors do advance, it's going to be every other with the potential of maybe one little break if they wind up starting on Monday. And that toll, the attrition of that series was one of the primary concerns, frankly. Not that the Warriors couldn't make the run and win the championship, but that would be something significant that they would have to overcome. All right, let's go ahead and get our shot of the game out of the way, which is presented by the County of Santa Clara.
Jones down the near side. Left-hand dribble guarded by Bielitsa. Comes middle, throws over the top. There's Brooks, a deep three left wing. Nailed it. Golden State is down 39 points right now.
Yeah, and that wasn't even the worst of it. As 39 en route to 55, and it wound up 39 at 134-95. So Tim Roy on the call there. Our shot of the game presented by the County of Santa Clara. Book a COVID-19 booster shot now at sccfreevax.org, or you can call 211 888-957-9570. Let's go ahead and pause here, and then we'll go ahead and come back. We'll hear from Draymond Green. We'll hear from Klay Thompson. We'll hear from Steph Curry, and we'll call it a night on that note as the Warriors. They get blasted in Memphis, all Grizzlies. They win it 134-95. You heard it right here.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Spins out to Melton, he catches, he fires, that's up, that's good, another three, and the Grizzlies with a burst here, 8-0 run, and they lead 37-28. This was a one-point game a moment ago.
Now back to Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game.
All right, final segment, John Dickinson inside FedEx Forum, where the Warriors hope they will not be playing another game until the 2022-23 season, as the Grizzlies put it to the Warriors tonight. Final score of 134-95. Still time to sneak in a couple of calls at 888-957-9570. But first, let's go ahead and hear from Draymond Green downstairs here in the press conference room in Memphis. As Draymond asked about a lot of different things. Short and sweet tonight from Draymond. We'll get his take on what we saw on the big board here, which was Draymond dancing to whoop that trick as the Grizzlies were thumping him, and the in-house hype man giving it to Steph Curry a little bit. Here's what Draymond had to say about all of that and the Warriors getting blasted in this one.
How do you guys better limit the turnovers? That seems to be kind of the biggest factor tonight.
I think we're sped up. You know, we got to go away from pressure. I think we're going into pressure. I just think, really all series, we kind of been sped up. Just got to slow down.
Draymond, obviously that game got out of hand quickly, but in third quarter, you and Steph obviously were enjoying the crowd when they were playing whoop that trick. Kind of what was going through your mind there, and just kind of, you just guys think about what Steph said earlier about the mindset you guys wanted to have about whoop that trick?
They're not going to whoop that trick alone. We're going to whoop that trick together if we're going to whoop that trick. You know, we got to. You know, one thing I don't respect is people who only bring it when they win it. you know, embrace crowds when you win it. We call those front runners. We're not front runners, you know. We got our ass kicked. That's all right. It happens. But you don't be front runner. When you spew it out, you gotta be willing to take it and not hide from it, not duck from it, not run from it. Embrace it. So I appreciated the crowd tonight and the energy that they brought to the game. You know, and if they want to whoop that streak, we're going to whoop them together.
You guys were down by 55 at one point in the second half. What was just your message to your teammates in a situation like that?
Just keep playing, you know, down by 55 or down by 5, lose by 50, lose by 5, you lost. It's one game in the loss column in the series, so we made too much of it.
Mike said that you kind of addressed the team before the game. Is there anything to be said to the guys after the game like this, like a loss like that, or is it, hey, it's one game, flush it, let's move on?
You definitely want to flush it, but you also have to learn from it. You know, it's not like flush it, you see this team again in 2 months. You see this team again in 2 days. And so you learn from it and then you flush it. You make the necessary adjustments and then you flush it. You know, so I think what you flush is the end result. You know, you move on from that. But you do, you know, we do have to learn from it and, you know, make the adjustments that we need to make.
You still have to watch the film and everything, but what are the lessons you've learned so far?
I think we got to take care of the ball and got to rebound. You know, those are two keys in this series, and we did both of them horribly tonight.
And those were the two things that the Warriors were doing really well in the first three games of this series, and a big reason why they were able to jump out to the 2-1 lead and eventually the 3-1 lead because of some key plays that they made in the game on Monday night, but all Grizzlies tonight. And you know, that is really the love and the hate for Draymond. Like how can you, there's a lot of things he does that I know gets under fan skin, gets under the opposition's fan skin, but to see Draymond come to the podium and just say, all right, when you spew it, you got to be willing to take it and not hide from it. And so he's just embracing it, embracing a crowd that he said he appreciated and the energy they brought. And look, you take it, you own it, and that's the one thing, you know, for the Warriors and as many teams as they've put down, and you know, over the years, when the Warriors have gotten beat, they have owned it. I mean, they really have, and they did in the Toronto series going back a couple of years. They did when the Cavs beat them in 2016. You know, as painful as that was for Warriors fans to watch, and as much as you didn't really know because the Warriors had so much success, how would they handle that? But they have, I think, maybe to the surprise of some, not necessarily to the surprise of those that are around this team on a daily or semi-daily basis, but I think to the surprise of some, they have typically handled themselves in that kind of manner. So Draymond, with all of his thoughts on everything going on there, but the two key points, the rebounding and the just getting sped up and playing a little too quick in this game, a couple of things to clean up. And at some point, though, you got to wonder if it's game five and you're still talking about it, like, is it really going to get cleaned up, or are you just going to have to figure out a way to win one more game anyway? Kind of like the Warriors were able to do on Monday. But I think Draymond's on to the right stuff there. All right, let's, from Draymond, get a little bit of Klay Thompson. Another short and sweet for Klay as he addressed the media following this one.
What would you say was kind of, I guess, the biggest issue in this one?
I would say turnovers. We did not have the same juice defensively like we did last game, so necessary adjustments. And I just know we'll be much better Friday.
It's like, what was that like out there? You guys don't often lose in a fashion like that. What was that like?
Oh, it was awful. It was embarrassing. From the opening tip, I mean, we didn't have great flow, and you know, they were more aggressive than us, reflecting in the 30 free throws to our 13. And we all had the mindset we were going to close it out tonight, but sometimes basketball is an exact science and we play like a shell of ourselves. So like I said before, we'll watch film, make necessary adjustments, and you'll see a totally different effort on Friday.
Mike Brown has been emphasizing the need to, or just saying the starts of these games have been very frantic, and that's because of a lot of turnovers. You need to settle down. How do you settle down?
Just making the game simple, making them feel us on the defensive side of the ball, getting back to being the aggressor. And I think we'll have a great start Friday. But even if it was a bad start, we still didn't we still didn't play like ourselves, and that was very uncharacteristic of us, and just a unfortunate night at the office.
I mean, how do you guys move on from a game like this and just put it in the past and rebound for game six on Friday?
You know, it doesn't feel good losing by as much as we did, but at the end of the day, it's just a loss, and you flush it from your mental, and you remind yourselves who you are, and you go in and play 100% effort on Friday, and I like our chances.
All right, so Klay Thompson there didn't have the same juice defensively. I think you have to wonder, even with the Warriors' focus being trying to end this thing tonight, not having the same juice defensively, I wonder if some part of that is a third game now on the every other, as far as you play Saturday, day off, play Monday, day off, play tonight with travel. Hard to come up with that same juice on the road when everything's against you defensively. But, yeah, no flow. And another awful start. I mean, even in the Denver series, you remember the quote from Michael Malone? We own the first quarter in this series. And they didn't really own it in terms of getting out to big leads, but they owned it in having leads at the end of, I think, four of the five games in that series in the first quarter. And kind of hanging around before the Warriors would put their runs together in a couple of those games late in the second quarter, and then ending them effectively in the third quarters. But yeah, the Warriors just cannot seem to get off to a start that makes it an uphill climb for the opposition. And I think that's where the Warriors really have their best chance to maybe end this thing, is if they could actually get off to a big lead in a game where the Grizzlies don't have their best player, and they themselves have struggled to score for longer stretches in this series. So I think that's something that's been problematic as well, and they've talked about it and how they want to fix it, but it's a situation where they haven't been able to fix it and address it and be able to get off to some better starts. All right, before we call it a night, let's go ahead and hear from Steph Curry, who also addressed everything that was going on in the building tonight. And, you know, this thing was kind of set up with what he told Kendra Andrews of ESPN after shoot-around, as he was walking off the floor, and she asked him what the game plan is, and the game plan was, quote, whoop that trick. He addressed that and the Warriors' loss and the smile on his face as the crowd and the hype man inside FedEx Forum were giving it to Steph with the Warriors down big.
Steph, what would you say was the most disappointing part about that performance?
Everything. They obviously came out with a sense of urgency and our game plan in terms of how we know we could beat this team, things we focus on, we did everything wrong. Turnovers, offensive rebounds, fouls. And on the road, when you give a team that's playing with desperation life like that, you don't think you lose by 40, but you can lose control of the game really quickly. That lasts like 3 minutes of the first quarter, and they went on a 9-0 run, got their crowd into it, they got life, and they ran away with it from there. So understand this series is kind of interesting. With Ja out there, there's a certain game plan that you have to approach a game with. When he's out, they're obviously a very complete team that had an amazing record in the regular season. And you have to respect that and understand that it's a different approach. And we felt that tonight, and now we got to do something about it on Friday.
What do you think is leading to all the turnovers? Mike talked about just playing frantic and needing to slow down.
It's understanding that they're very athletic and very athletic team. They have a lot of length. We just got to be more mindful of where we're going on the floor and not take risks, because we can still get great shots. We showed that in the first quarter for 10 minutes, and then all hell broke loose in terms of, you know, losing the possession game, turnovers and offensive rebounds included in that. So slowing down, being more mindful, understanding we can get great shots if we're a little bit more conscious of that and keep saying it. And when we do it right, we win. When we don't, we lose.
This is the biggest Warriors playoff loss since 2014. How do you guys bounce back?
It's a playoffs. You got to be prepared for anything. Short memory. Still in control of the series. go home, protect our home court like we've done all playoffs. And it's the same thing you always say. It's not just because you're going home. It's because we have to understand the adjustments we have to make in terms of our physicality, protecting the ball, valuing possessions, and we'll be in good shape.
How do you, I guess, individually feel like you played this series?
Good enough to have three wins. While we're on the brink of closing out game six. On any other kind of qualitative numbers, just how can you win? We've got to do that on Friday, obviously, whatever the game requires. The only thing you probably could, want to be a little bit more efficient in terms of shooting the ball, but not really worried about that kind of outcome either.
Fourth quarter, obviously, crowd's getting excited, playing Whoop That Trick. Your comments earlier about that was your mindset coming into this game. What was your kind of reaction as all that was going on? Draymond's waving his towel as well.
It's the best. That's what this whole back and forth is about in terms of home court advantage and, hostile crowds, and you embrace all of that. Like, it's fun. Even when you're getting smacked, you got to find some fun in it. So obviously didn't pan out the way we wanted to. Still in control of the series, but got to understand it's going to be really hard to, close out this team because they're a really good team. And if we need any more reminder of that, we got it today.
Steph, obviously we apply some of the championship, attributes to this team, but this team is a bit different. Did you learn something about this team in this game, or would you learn based on how this team responds?
How the team responds, because apparently we got beat like this before. And even look at, I think somebody said last year, Milwaukee lost by 39 in the playoffs at some point and figured out how to make the necessary adjustments. So I think we've shown we're a resilient team this year, and we haven't had a situation where we're basically 46 minutes of the game you're just getting demolished. But I feel like we have the right mindset, the right approach, all the tools we need to show who we really are in game six. And that's the test or the challenge, or being able to show who we really are.
All right, so Stephen Curry there following this one. And, yeah, the 510 pointed this out earlier on the Xfinity mobile text line, and I think what Steph's getting at, I mean, the Grizzlies are a two seed for a reason. They are 21-6 without Ja Morant now, including the playoffs, for a reason. And I don't think the Warriors needed a reminder, but they definitely got it. And I think you have to appreciate the perspective on that as far as – things can snowball quickly and go awry. And a game where the Warriors are hanging in, I mean, it was 29-28 late in the third quarter. They give up a 9-0 run to close the quarter. Suddenly they're down 10. They fight back in the second quarter, give up another big run, and then it's uh-oh at that point, where it's 77-50 at the break. And the Warriors wind up essentially waving the white flag middle of the second quarter and setting their sights. And if there is any benefit for all this talk about rest and with the conversation as far as, do the Warriors need a little extra time or whatever? Steph Curry, 25 minutes. Klay Thompson, 25 minutes. Draymond Green, 22 minutes. Andrew Wiggins only played 20 in the game tonight. So a little bit of extra rest for the Warriors as this thing shifts back to San Francisco. And just point of logistics here, the Warriors are staying over in Memphis tonight, going to fly back in the morning and get back midday tomorrow, regroup, and get ready for game six on Friday night, which will be inside Chase Center. So that'll do it for us. We'll call it a night on that note as the Warriors find themselves heading home with work to be done on Friday night as the Warriors will take on the Grizzlies in game six. Again, that's a 7 p.m. tip-off on 95.7 The Game. Warriors live at 5:30, as that'll be Damon and Ratto who are going to have that one for you. And I will be handling Warriors wrap-up on Friday night as well from Chase Center. So keep it locked here on 95.7 The Game. A new podcast coming out tomorrow. Going to connect with Matt Steinmetz before I get in the air and head back to the Bay. So our Warriors Weekly game-to-game podcast for game number 5. Look for that right around noon tomorrow to drop, as we'll be talking about that. And then, of course, keep it locked on 95.7 The Game all day long tomorrow. It's going to be a fun couple of days. Concern meter rising off of tonight, but the Warriors still in control. go win one home game any way you possibly can, and it's on to the Western Conference Finals for the first time since 2019. So that'll do it for me. Thanks to Sterling Bennett and Craig Valentino and everybody in our San Francisco studios for cutting the highlights, putting the sound together. Excellent, excellent work, one and all. Again, we'll be back on Friday, 5:30 for Warriors Live with Damon and Ratto, and then I'll have Warriors wrap up for you after the ball game from Chase. Warriors lose tonight to the Grizzlies, 134-95 in Memphis. They still lead the series 3-2. We'll talk to you Friday from San Francisco right here on 95.7 The Game.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.